Welcome to the sermon podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life.
It's always fun to see different ways people look at Scripture. You know that when I preach, I try to allow the Scripture to come to life. And it helps me visually. I want to see Scripture. And sometimes, even in that statement that Joseph said, that sometimes the nativity scene just gets put up, but it's in the background. And so this morning, my prayer is that as we go through this study, my prayer is that, as Joseph said just then, it reminds people, the nativity reminds people of why Jesus came. So for us, it reminds us. We need to not allow it to be put in the background. We need to have it in the foreground. We need to take time. If we put it out, let's think about all the different aspects of the manger. Who did what and what was their role? But you know, there are people in our lives that we can't remind them of something they don't already know. So this morning, I pray that our time together, for you and me, it would be a teaching moment of something that we've never thought of before, but also it would be a reminding time of something maybe we've forgotten, of some significance of what the coming of the Christ means. And guys, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to just hear it in this place called the church, the building. Out and about, out in public, you can see Jesus Christ at work because he's at work all the time. And if we would just take time to see what God's doing. 30 years ago, 1995, Michelle and I got married. We went on our honeymoon to Townsend, Tennessee. We went to Pigeon Forge, and one night we went to the Stampede to eat and to see a show about cowboys and cowgirls fighting north and south, and that's why we went. And it was an interesting night, and then all of a sudden, at some point during the show, I noticed that part of the ceiling started to lower. And as it lowered, I began to listen to the MC as he read the story of the nativity. And then all of a sudden, the cowboys and cowgirls started coming in with their horses. They were walking, and they circled that horseshoe arena. And when the ceiling portion of that platform hit the floor, it was a live nativity, a camel, donkeys, sheep, the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. And it was awesome to see that in a public place, but the thing that got me, something that reminded me that I was not expecting of the nativity scene in a public place such as this. The MC began to talk about how at one moment in time, there's going to come a time where every knee will bow. Now, I've heard that all of my life because I grew up in church. But to see it come to life was an interesting phenomenon for me, because when he said every knee shall bow, Mary and Joseph dropped to their knees, and then the wise men dropped to their knees, and the shepherd dropped to their knees, and then all of a sudden the cowboys and cowgirls all the way around the arena went to their knees. But then all of a sudden, like a wave, the first horse pulled back a hoof and put one down and put his nose down, and then all the horses around the arena did the same thing, and then the animals on that platform pulled back a hoof and dropped in worship. We just sang, "Here I am to worship you." I hope and pray this morning as you came in that you came to worship. Sometimes we get caught up in going through the motions, and it's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be at church because it's Sunday, and that's what I was raised to do, and I'm just going to check off the box. Folks, listen to me. This morning, we're here to worship the nativity scene, but the most important aspect of that is Jesus. And to see that come to life for me made it even that much more real in my heart and my mind. When you walk by a nativity scene, what do you see? Oftentimes we focus on the little baby Jesus. But there's so many other characters on that platform that we need to look at. And so this morning I want to look at Joseph. Not Joseph, but the shepherd. The shepherd was there, and, you know, of course, we saw the chaos of the sheep taking off and making noise, and baby Jesus had just gotten to sleep. And then, of course, Elf on the Shelf shows up, and he's making all kind of noise. But the shepherd jumps off the table, and he says, I'm going to go get that sheep. And the shepherd is the one that gathers and carries. As I was studying this week, I'm afraid, just being honest with myself, sometimes I'm not like the shepherd. Sometimes I scatter and criticize. But the shepherd came to gather us together and to carry us when we need to be carried. And most of us, when we came in this place, we need to be carried in some way or the other, because our hearts are heavy. We have burdens. There's sickness. There's death. We experienced all of that this past week, even within our church family. And it's hard, but the Good Shepherd says, I'm here to carry you. So this morning, I want to share four things with you that I want you to look at about the shepherd. The little figurine that just jumped off the table and went to go get what he called the dumb sheep. Now, I know that's not a term that we're supposed to use, but, you know, sheep are dumb. I was told when I was a teenager, and I never forgot it, that the reason why the shepherds would move them from pasture to pasture is because once they ate all the grass, they didn't realize that they had eaten all the grass. They would just keep on eating. And they'd go right into the mud and the dirt. And so they were dumb enough that they couldn't figure it out. So the shepherds had to say, hey, look, there's nothing else here for you to eat. Let's go to this other green pasture. We always want to go to the other green pasture, right? But that little sheep just took off and kind of wandered off. How many times have you and I wandered off? How many times have you ever said, I'm stuck in a rut? That means we're dumb and we're just standing there eating the same old, expecting different results, and we're just doing the same thing. And if we would listen to the shepherd, he would say, hey, look, come with me. Come with me. Let's go. So I want to share four things this morning with you about the shepherd. And the very first thing is this: the shepherd who seeks. The shepherd is the one who seeks. Now, we always say that if we seek him, we will find him. We know that to be true. But I want you to understand, when I was studying this and I looked at this, the shepherd hasn't really lost us, because he knows where we are. He knows our patterns. He knows where we hang out. He knows the people we talk to and where we go. He always knows where we are. But isn't it reassuring to know that he's always seeking us? He knows everything about us. He never forgets us. He never just lets us wander off so far that we get into that much trouble. Now, we get into trouble. But he's hoping that we will turn and come to him before he has to turn around and come and grab us. But I just want you to read with me Luke 15, 4 through 7. We know this story. This is the parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go find the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I found it. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The shepherd that seeks. Now, for me, I don't know about you, it doesn't really make good math that you leave 99 to go get that one dumb sheep? You know, most of us, if we're looking at $99 on a table and we lost a dollar, four quarters, I still got 99. I'm good. I'm not going to tear my house up after four quarters. It's not really that important to me. It's not that bad. The value is right here in the more. That's the way we think. And Jesus says, no. I will be willing to leave the 99 in a pasture under the cover of darkness where lions and tigers and bears, oh my, might be out and about, prowling to devour. But I'm going to go get that one because that one has value. Just as much as the 99 have value, he says, I'm going to go get that one because it has value to me. It has a purpose. It was created for a reason. And he goes until he finds it. And then when he finds it, he brings it back. He knows the hiding spots, as I said a minute ago. He knows where we hang out. He knows what we're up to when we're trying to hide it from him. And he says, I've sought you out. I know you by name. I know everything about you because you're important to me. I'm thankful that the Good Shepherd says that about me because I'm the one that gets out of the pen and goes on my wandering way, and I do my own thing, and I think I'm grown, and I can do what I want, and it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that scary. I can get out of the pen far enough that I'm going to be okay. But the shepherd says, yeah, but when you're right here, I can protect you even better. But when you go on your own, that's a dangerous place, Mark. So I'm glad he seeks me. And at a certain point in my wandering, I need to realize that I've left the comfort and the security of the pen with the other sheep. Now, I called you sheep. I didn't say the other word. But when I'm in the comfort of the fold, that's where I'm secure. That's where I'm safe. And he knows that. And so that's why he seeks us. This is one thing that I want you to find from this. You don't have to go very far to be out of his presence. Because he knows when you wander off, he wants to find you. He wants to keep you safe. And he's already looking for you. If you walk away with nothing else from this first point, this is it. He's always looking for you. He always knows where you are. The second thing about the shepherd is this. He's the one who lifts. Picks us up. When we're down, when we're weak, he is strong. Especially in an area where we're not comfortable, where it's dangerous, he says, hey, look, I'm going to get you. I remember when I was growing up in New Orleans, and the mission was about 8 blocks from St. Charles Avenue, and it was Mardi Gras season. I mean, there was thousands of people around. I hated heights as a kid. I didn't even want to get on the platform at First Baptist Church New Orleans because this was high. And so I never would play on the stage. My brother, my sisters, they'd get up there and run. I didn't want to do that because I was scared to go up 4 or 5, you know, steps. I was scared to death of heights. When my dad would put me on a ladder at the parade, and some people look at me and go, a ladder at the parade? Yeah, look, if you've never been to New Orleans on St. Charles Avenue, it's a row. It's not just a row. There's rows and rows of different size ladders, and they would build these seats out of wood, and then they'd put their kids on top of the ladder, and they'd put their kids in there so that way you were higher up. And I hated being up there because I was scared to death. I was afraid somebody was going to knock the ladder out from under me. The only time that I could be lifted up high and not be scared was when we were walking home in the midst of the crowd when my dad would put me on his shoulders. I was at the same height as if I was on the ladder, but there was something different about being on Dad's shoulders. And so I want you to see in Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Some of the things that I wrote down, shepherds carry. They carry close to the heart, across the shoulders. You get to sense the heartbeat of the shepherd. And as you journey together and the shepherd is carrying you when you're weak and you need to be carried, you begin to be in tune with him in every step and know that his heartbeat is beating for you because he cares for you. And he will carry us through the toughest situations of life. And when we look back on our life situation, we can look back and go, the only way that I made it through was because he carried me. There was no way that I could have walked through that without him. But because he came to me, he sought me out, and I trusted in him. He carried me through that whole situation. One of the things that I remember when I was going through cancer, a friend of mine wrote me a card. And every time he wrote me something, he would capitalize the word through, THROUGH. And finally, I asked Brian, I said, "Why do you capitalize that one word?" He said, "Because I want you to realize that he's going to carry you through this. He was with you at the beginning, he'll be with you through it, and he'll be with you at the end." He said, "Never lose hope in the valley. Never lose hope in the wandering. Never lose hope when you're lost, because he's seeking you and he wants to carry you through this season of life." Being carried isn't failure. Sometimes we feel like other people come to help us when we're at a point in need. And we're like, no, I can do it. It's a prideful thing to have someone else do for you when you can do it for yourself. But it's not carrying you because you're failing. Other people come into our life. Jesus comes into our life to carry us because it's a moment of intimacy. Allow me to do this for you. I know you can do it on your own, but if you'll just trust me and allow me to do it for you, it'll bring us closer together. You'll understand and know that the reason why I'm doing it is because I love you. And I sense your weakness. I sense that you're scared. I sense that you're broken, and you need me to do what you're not willing to ask me to do for you. So just allow me to do this for you. So just know that the shepherd lifts when you're down. Third thing is this: the shepherd who unites. Now, when I was thinking about this one, I remembered as a kid, we would go out to the mall at Christmas to do the shopping. And my dad hated going to the mall. And my mom and my two sisters and I, the other five, were already out of the house. And they were doing their own shopping, doing their own thing with their families. And we'd go to Lakeside Mall, and we'd walk into the mall, and Daddy would find the very first bench that was available. And he'd sit down. I see several people looking at their fathers. Yeah, y'all can relate on this. Daddy shot for people. He was people watching. And he'd say, "Look, now I'm going to give y'all an hour and a half, and I'm going to be right here in an hour and a half. In an hour and 35 minutes, I'm going to be in the car. Hour and 40 minutes, I'll see y'all when you get to the house." He wasn't going to wait very long. And he would sit there, and we would scatter and do our thing, and then every once in a while, because I was a little one, I would just stay with Dad, and I would sit there. And I remember one time my dad kind of bumped me, and he said, "Look at all these people." I said, "I'm looking." He said, no. He said, really look at all these people. He said, if we're created in the image of God, he said, what in the world does God look like? I've never forgotten that. But because we look different, we have different backgrounds, we shop at different places, we work different places, we go to different churches, we're in different folds, but at the same time, the shepherd unifies us. He brings us together. We cheer for different teams and we walk different paths of life, but every single one of us, we have one thing in common: Jesus. Jesus. We may not have anything else that we agree upon, but Jesus. Let me read the passage from John 10, verses 14 through 16. This is talking about other sheep being in the pen. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. That means there's other pens out and about. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's going to bring us all together. One flock, not separate pens. No diversity. Diversity within the united body of Christ. If you remember back to the video, they had just gotten baby Jesus to sleep. And Eli, the sheep, was off making noise. And then all of a sudden, Elf on the Shelf showed up and was making noise. And they were so bothered because they were going to wake up baby Jesus. But I want you to understand this. The shepherd who unites, he doesn't just come for the quiet ones. I'm thankful he came for the loud ones. The ones that make the disturbance. That's me. He takes me in spite of all of my junk, all of my mistakes, all of my noisiness, and he says, I want you to be in this fold. I've heard this before. The most saddening noise of a church is when there's no crying of children. And sometimes within a church setting, it gets annoying because the baby's crying and making, hey, thank the Lord that those families are bringing those little ones into the house. Mom and Dad brought me when I was a baby, and I made noise. Believe me, I made a lot of noise. I made noise sitting in the balcony, and I'd be sitting up there. What's Mom and Dad going to do during worship service? They're sitting in the choir. They can't do anything to me, so I can cut up, and when I get home, they'll have to take care of me. And that one Sunday, I was sitting up there in the balcony. I was making noise, and I looked over the railing, and when I saw Dad overlooking his top of his glasses, I knew I was in trouble. How much more trouble could I get in? So I just carried on. What's he going to do? Get up and walk out? We were on Channel 4 TV. A few minutes later, I looked over the railing and Daddy wasn't there. And I heard, and I looked up and Daddy was standing in the balcony. Look, I screamed all the way down the stairs when he took me out to the car. They knew I was in trouble. I wish he'd have just brought me to the altar that morning and let Jesus have his way with me instead of him, because he took care of me. But Jesus says, you know what? Even when you're loud, even when you're out of sorts, even when you're being obnoxious, I want you to know that I love you and I know your name. And you're going to know my voice when I clear my throat. Look, anybody else that morning could have cleared their throat. But there was something in that voice. I knew it was Daddy. And when God gets a hold of me and he grabs my attention, he doesn't do that to scatter me and to criticize me. No, he does it to gather me and to comfort me. And he says, hey, look, I want you to be in this fold, and I want to carry you, and I want you to understand you are important. You have value. And I want to unite you with others. You don't have to be like them, thank goodness, but I want you to be a part of them. Fourth and final thing that I want you to see about the shepherd this morning is he's the one that holds close. He's the one that holds us close. When everybody else, we may feel like everybody else lets us go and we've been just forgotten, he holds us close. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge. Now, we have Refuge Student Ministries. Do you know what refuge means? Hiding place. I get to hide in my Father because he holds me close, and nothing, when I'm in his arms, nothing can get to me because they've got to go through him first. And so I'm in his refuge, and underneath me is his everlasting arms. He's not going to drop me. I remember when I was a kid and somebody's holding me, and I thought it was fun, you know. They'd be holding me, and I've done this with some of your children, probably, you know. Hey! And then all of a sudden you act like you drop them. I'm glad I've never dropped a child. Now, there's been children I thought about dropping. I probably was dropped myself. But the Lord doesn't even play like that with us. He says, no, I've got you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You are in my arms, and I will carry you. And so he pulls us off the shoulders, and he pulls us around to the heart, and now we really feel that heartbeat. Now we're really in tune with him. And it's an intimate moment. I know we have to be careful of giving hugs. And there's something about that little touch, just, hey, how are you? Man, to be in my mom's arms again. Just to have that hug. The hugs that only she could give. My sisters don't hug me the way mom hugged me. But Jesus doesn't hug me the way my mom did. Mom's hugs didn't have anything the way Jesus comforts me. And he pulls me in, and he tells me in my ear, he secretly tells me, you are mine. I remember when Megan was born, and we had a quartet at our church singing on that Sunday morning, and those guys were in town and they needed a place to stay, and so Michelle and I were blessed with a house big enough that those guys were able to stay with us. And it was probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got up, believe it or not, I got up to take care of that noisy baby. And I got her, and we were in the living room, and I was trying to keep her quiet because I didn't want to wake those guys up. And I was in the recliner just rocking her, and finally got her to sleep. And one of the young men came out, and he said, I thought I heard y'all. I said, man, I'm so sorry. And he said, no, it's all good. He said, I love to hear of the crying baby. And I said, yeah, but about 9:30, 10 o'clock this morning, you're not going to, because you're going to be tired when you're singing. And he came in and sat next to me, and I'll never forget. It's the first time I ever experienced it. She was asleep, and then all of a sudden I looked down at her, and she just started smiling real big from ear to ear. And we weren't really talking about anything for her to think is funny. And I mean, she's just a couple of months old, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said, my grandfather used to tell me that when a baby does that, Jesus is whispering secrets in their ear. And now that I've got a grandson, I've seen him do it, and I just think, what an intimate moment, because he's listening to Jesus tell him, you're mine. You're one of mine. I have an awesome plan for you, and I want to hold you close for every day you live. I don't know what you were like as a child, but sometimes I felt like I was just tolerated. They put up with me because I was there. But folks, listen to me. Within this fold, we're not just tolerated. We are treasured. The shepherd wants an intimate walk, love relationship with you so much so that he wants to seek you and know that he's watching you every day. He wants you to know that he is going to lift you when you need to be lifted. He wants to unify you with other followers in the fold so that you can grow and become even more knowledgeable in wisdom and stature, knowing who he is and what he can do for you. And he wants you to never forget, he will hold you close for all of your days. I don't know why you came this morning to worship, but what I want you to do in the next few minutes is this. Think about the shepherd that came for you. And just think about how great his love is for you. It's almost unexplainable. But there are people in your life today that need to know who this shepherd is. So that one day, they can worship him in all of his glory. Stand with me as we pray. Father God, thank you for loving us the way you do. And I pray this morning as we prepare ourselves to go to small group or to go home to eat lunch with family and friends, I pray that we would just take time to look at the nativity like we've never looked at it before. And just take a moment in this season to thank you, the good shepherd, that you're willing to leave the others for those of us that have wandered off. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.